Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Judd Garrett, frequent contributor to the Real Clear Politics, and we'll be talking about his latest, American Dreaming. So when Duke in the second hour from the New American and all of his, including If Your Clothes Sometimes Stink as Badly as the Cultural, blame Big Brother. Okay, got it, yes. Daniel Horowitz filed an interesting op-ed piece titled Six Times the Media Created Mask Without Stopping a Pandemic and Then Spread Even More. Mask wearing was likely the greatest failed social experiment of our lifetime, yet its own failure means it continues to be forced down our throats or noses. While it was always illogical that a cheap mask could stop a virus that's much smaller than the mask pores, we embarked on a grand national experiment with a greater degree of compliance and shame than anyone could have imagined. On June 9, 2020, Reuters ran a headline, quote, widespread mask wearing could prevent COVID-19 second waves. The outlet suggested, based on mathematical equation, presupposing that masks work, that even homemade masks can dramatically reduce transmission rates if enough people wear them in public. Well, the media got their wish more than they could have ever imagined, yet nowhere in the world did it stop the next wave or the one after that. And that should have been the end of masks, but instead, we have allowed the global governments to continue lying to us when with our own eyes we can see that masks failing to work in the real world. They're still trotting out theoretical studies of lab simulations of particles that hypnotize the mask might work over a year after they failed to work on us humans when it mattered. As the CDC attempts to resurrect universal masking in America, it's important to remember all the times the media suggests masks were the cause of sudden drop in cases, when in fact cases increase with greater intensity later on, months into universal masking. In their minds, masks are immaculate and can be proven if ineffective. In reality, as we come to learn over the past 17 months, the virus saturates a given area for 6 to 8 weeks, and then it moves on until the next wave a few months later. Nothing we do can prevent either the upslope or downslope of the curve. Given the acuteness of the political amnesia, here is a reminder of just a few times the media credited masks for a decline in cases, only to have it blow up in their faces. This is built on the incredible research of the indispensable Ian Miller. Number one, India. Perhaps the greatest illustration of the insanity of responding to the Delta mutation with masks is that the entire mutation emanated from India. 100% after the media had praised the country for ending its first wave in the fall with masks. Quote, the country has managed to encourage and enforce most universal acceptance of masks without much debate, wrote the Wall Street Journal December 30th in an article titled, quote, COVID-19 was consuming India until nearly everyone started wearing masks. Quote, until you have a vaccine, you have a social vaccine, and the social vaccine is the mask, Health Minister Harshvardhan repeated in speeches. Well, the cruel irony is that the mask wearing failed to stem India's very sharp incline in March. And it wasn't the vaccine that precipitated this sharp decline in cases 2 months later. India barely had anyone vaccinated at the time. All right, number two, the Czech Republic. Well, certainly the Czechs did it right by instituting a mask mandate early on. This is most certainly why they barely had a problem until the fall of 2020, right? Wrong. Mask worked until they didn't work. On October 19th, CNN published a bizarre article titled, Mask Made Czech Republic the Envy of Europe. Now they've blown it. Except they never worked. It's just that it wasn't their turn for the spread until the fall. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš boasted that his country was among the best in COVID, in part because of masks. In July, USA Today wrote that the Czechs taught us a life-saving lesson about mask wearing. But then in October, they experienced one of the sharpest inclines in all of Europe. They experienced two more waves thereafter with at least the same degree of mass compliance. And now they have the fourth highest death rate in the world. The highest death rate in the world, of course, is Peru, with one of the longest and strictest lockdown and earliest mask mandates. All right, let's look at number three, Japan. No country has taught the world more about mask wearing than Japan, and no country now faces the shame and embarrassment of its failures. It's sure great we chose Japan as the host of this year's Olympics so we don't have to worry about COVID because of their mask wearing. After all, more than a year ago, Forbes reported in an article titled, quote, "The Japanese perfect the mask," unquote. That's Japan's high rate of mask wearing. Reported 96% was responsible for preventing the spread of COVID. Well, the Japanese are now on their third large wave, which spread so much that all spectators were barred from the Olympics for the first time ever. Athletes playing in front of empty stadiums because masks worked so well until they didn't. And it should be noted that most Asian countries, Japan's death rate will likely remain low, but it's clear that this has a lot more to do with the health of its population and possible inherent partial immunity and not mask, because the virus is spreading uninhabited. Number four, Israel. Historically, Israel has done things smartly, so everyone credit Israel's disciplined mask wearing with their mild waves for the first few months of the pandemic. In fact, despite having a mild wave in the early summer and a substantial wave in the fall of 2020, after the mask and strict enforcement thereof were in place, the Wall Street Journal cited experts November 1st, basically saying that lockdowns didn't work, but the mask did. Quote, "Infections are dropping sharply despite less stringent rules and more defiance of them, likely because of more widespread use of masks," wrote the journal. Well, after working for a few weeks and not having worked in the prior waves, they went back to not working, as Israel experienced its worst wave yet in December and January. Eventually, cases got around to a halt, as they did in most places after the winter spread, and Israel finally relaxed its mandate. Another wave came back, and the country reinstated the mask mandate June 24th. Yet despite the mandate and one of the highest vaccination rates, cases have increased tenfold since June 24th and are higher than they were at the same time last year with zero vaccination. And let's see, San Francisco, California. California at large and San Francisco in particular did everything right, and did so from early March 2020. Last August, CNBC held San Fran as being better off than most U.S. cities, in part because of the culture of mask. Dr. Bob Watcher, chairman of the Department of Medicine at UC San Francisco, was quoted as crediting the social pressure in the city. Quote, "In San Francisco, if you go to a gathering with one person having a mask off, it's likely that person would be looked at funny, and their friends might even say something," he said. While they did finally relinquish the mandate about a month ago, the city still has a much greater residual culture of mask wearing than almost anywhere in the country. Yet, despite being above the 35th parallel, San Francisco's are experiencing their sharpest increase ever. Whereas most of these experiencing increases now are in the South, as we witnessed last year. Moreover, like most places with a strong culture of masking, they have a strong culture of vaccination, with 85% of seniors fully vaccinated and 77% of those over 12. And then we come to Germany. A U.S. Today fact check cited a CDC report crediting masks for the rapid decline in cases in Jena, Germany. Quote, "And in the German city of Jena, first in the country to plead and implement public mask wearing last April, masks led to a 75% decrease in new COVID-19 cases in a little under 3 weeks, one December study found," wrote the fact checker on March 12, 2021, in claiming it's false to assert that the CDC's evidence found a negligible effect of masking. What is shocking about the timing of this fact check is that the checker had the luxury of experiencing an entire year of the curve and could easily have seen that after cases went down, they went up over the winter by nearly 1,000%. In the state of Thuringia, of which Jena is the largest city, after the mask mandate was in place so early, yet they published information that was disproven by reality. In general, Germany is quite instructive because Bavaria and Berlin are one of the only known places to mandate the use of N95 masks, yet they failed to stop the subsequent wave. There are many more examples, but we need not belabor the point that after 17 months, it is impossible for any rational person to think mass factor in all is changing the spread of the virus. And some have suggested that America has become a less religious country in recent years. What the past year has demonstrated is that great many have unwavering faith in religion, just not the one that serves the God our founders did. Very good editorial there from the senior editor of Conservative Review, Daniel Horowitz. All right. Well, roughly 50,000 illegal immigrants have been released into the interior of the United States by Democrat Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security, according to an explosive new report. Axis reporting that the tens of thousands of illegal border crossers were freed by Biden's federal agency without court dates. The only instruction reportedly given to the illegal immigrants was to eventually report back to an Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, office. However, a staggering 87% of those released have now vanished and haven't followed up with ICE as requested, according to the report. And, of course, you also know that none of them are being checked for COVID. Well, well, well. Chicago's top police officer has a few things to say. He says, we're arresting violent offenders. The courts are releasing these people back into the community, he said, Chicago's police superintendent. Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown blamed the Democrat leadership's soft-on-crime policies. We are arresting violent offenders. The courts are releasing these people back into the community. Chicago has seen a massive spike in crime under Democratic Mayor Lori Lightfoot's watch, with 70 people being shot, 12 being killed over the weekend. Brown, the city needs to challenge the courts to render Chicago safe through holding offenders in jail longer, not releasing murderers back into our community. There are 3,400 accused offenders out in the community with electronic monitoring in Cook County. Now, the electronic monitoring policy, which progressives say is a great alternative to the bail system, has been described by authorities as a dangerous initiative that puts too many criminals back on the street and endangers the public. There are 3,400 accused offenders out in the community with this monitoring in Cook County. In Chicago, over 100 murder suspects with ankle monitor bracelets. And last month, Mayor Lightfoot decided systematic racism is a public health crisis and diverted $10 million in grants from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. Just reach your little hand in there and pull out the money, Mayor. Yes, sir. All right, we're going to take a break, and then Judd Gehrig coming up with all his latest.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Basketball superstar LeBron James wants to rescue his son, who's been trapped by a rogue algorithm played by Don Cheadle inside a high-tech world called the Serververse. But the only way to achieve that noble goal is to team up with classic Warner Brothers cartoon characters, including, well, you know who, in Space Jam, A New Legacy, playing in theaters and streaming on HBO Max.
What is this? I'm a cartoon?
What's up, Doc?
This whole kooky confection is, of course, based on the 1996 version of Space Jam that featured another basketball legend named Michael Jordan, who didn't try nearly as hard as LeBron when it comes to acting range, and that doesn't really work in LeBron's favor. The sentimental scenes of father and son reconciliation are neither funny nor touching, though some of the silly gags are intermittently amusing. It's rated PG, 2 stars for Space Jam, A New Legacy, where it's hard to conceive that they mount another lame sequel.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Citizens, no need now to clamor for culinary gustatorial delights. Dreams do come true. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened its golden doors to feed the famished and soothe the savage beast. Bask in the delights of Columbo's succulent steaks, Neptune's superior offerings from the seven seas, Columbo's family Italian specialties, and, of course, their world-famous meatballs. And it's all so affordable. Yes, Columbo's, the ninth wonder of the world, the Southern California pantheon dedicated to unrivaled and unparalleled yum-yum. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN. Program note, let's see, when next we meet, my guest will be Dr. Marilyn M. Singleton, and her latest report, There's More to Death Than COVID-19. And then Andrew Art Arthur, resident fellow of law and policy in the Center for Immigration Studies, will be talking about suspected COVID-positive migrants in Texas, suggests flaws in the DHS quarantine policies. Yes, we know what that's doing. Right now, I want to go to the one and only Mr. Judd Jarrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, Judd began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys, served another 12 years as a personnel executive with the Cowboys. He's written 2 screenplays, frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, and his first novel, No Wind. His website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Hey, Judd, welcome back. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Well, fair to partly cloudy today. That's that'll be my weather report here. Yes. Texas, you're still in Texas, and some of the guys are coming back, and one or two of them, I think, got arrested. So, hey, things are looking up, right?
Yeah, we got to do something about that. I mean, they got to do their job. So if they're not going to do their job, they got to face the consequences.
Yeah, and you know when the consequences, Judge, you think, does that mean they're not going to get a check this month? I don't think so. I guess it's the same-o, if you're a Congress critter, I'll tell you. You've got an interesting article here. It is entitled American Dreaming. Now, let's explain. I'll let you explain. What is the American Dream?
Well, my understanding of the American Dream was of upward mobility for the person and for the family. So what would happen is the process would be the parents would work really hard to give their children a better start in life, and then those children work really hard to give their children a better start than they had, and then slowly the family moves up the social ladder. I think it's been warped recently. Everyone thinks the American dream is living like a millionaire and all that, and it's not. It's just that for so long in human history, there was no upward mobility. You were born into a social class. You were born poor, you stayed poor. You were born rich, you stayed rich. And that's the way it was. And America was one of the few countries, you know, early on that gave their citizens an ability to move upward based on how hard they worked, what their ability was, how much they produced. And they were able to give that off to their kids, and so they could start in a better place. And right now, I think we've forgotten what the American dream is all about.
Yeah, but as you say, it is totally available to everyone. You know what I think? I think a lot of probably internet and stuff like that gets involved, you know, and TV watching, and they don't have time to really concentrate on, here's what I'd really like to do. They might be watching a TV soap opera and thinking, I could do that. I'll become an actor. It's probably real easy, you know. I think they just get so distracted these days, and so many things that can distract them.
Yeah, they're distracted, no question, by, you know, like the internet or TV or, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. But also, what's distracting them also is very detrimental to them, because they're getting sent a lot of bad messages of you know, what this country is all about. And again, that's hurting the kids as well.
But the parents, you say in your piece, where is it here, that the parents work hard to give their children better life opportunities than they had, and those children work hard to give their children better opportunities. But it sort of seems like that little wheel's not spinning around like it should, because of all these distractions we talk about.
Yeah, the distractions, and the other thing I got into, you know, people said, well, the American dream is dead, because a lot of people aren't realizing the American dream. But one of the main factors or the vital elements of the American dream is to have a stable family, is to have two parents in the household.
Yeah.
That is the way that you can improve your children's lot in life. And there's so many kids, especially in, you know, the really poor communities, where they're being born, you know, to single moms, you know, out of wedlock, and they're on welfare. And those situations are not the drivers of the American dream. You're just treading water when you're on a welfare check, or when you're on the government dole. You're not advancing in life. And, you know, so the family and having two parents in the home is vital to realize the American
dream. Very, very vital. We got to take that break. We're going to be back more from Judd Garrett. Be right back.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest, Judd Garrett, author of No Wind. And by the way, remember the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. And we're talking about American Dreaming. I was just thinking during the break there, Judd, that probably, you know, in the good old days, whenever, you know, America was being built and of course, the kids didn't have it that easy because all of them had so many chores to do. And maybe they didn't have time to think about how can I avoid experiencing the American dream because they were so busy. You know what I'm getting at? And now they've got so much time on their hands and so many toys to play with. I wonder how many of them don't even really think ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think many kids have a long view of their life and where they're going. And I think a lot of times, you know, they've already arrived at the American dream. You know, their family has moved up the ladder so much that they have everything that they want. So what is driving them to do even better than what their parents did?
Yeah, and in your article you say today we're told that the American dream is dead. But dead for who?
Yeah, I mean that's the point. I mean, you know, just because there are people who aren't experiencing the American dream does not mean that the American dream isn't available for all people. It's there, and you know, if you work hard, if you produce, you're going to improve your lot in life. There's no question about it. We see it You know, every day you see people advancing in our society, you know, at greater speeds than any other country in the world. And, you know, there's some people who aren't doing what's necessary to achieve that. It's not just going to be handed to you on a silver platter. The American dream has to be earned with hard work and effort, but it's still there and it's still available for all of us.
And you say that many people who have not achieved the promise of the American dream are missing a vital component of the dream, a stable family, a stable family. And when I first looked at that, I'm thinking, you know, you may have a family where there's no father, and maybe the kid's in school, and maybe I'll talk about a male young boy who, you know, is very good at sports. So then they have a chance maybe to achieve that American dream, you know, if you can get into something that really, you know, you have talent for. But then again, it's like, are you going to realize you have the talent when you're young and in school, or are you just going to throw it away? You know, I can't wait to get out of here. So many things against you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that, and then also, you know, to go on your first point, I mean, you know, a lot of times these kids, you know, who have talent to play sports or whatever, you know, to end up advancing in life, but they don't have that stable family behind them. Maybe they're from a single-parent household. They end up becoming the one who is supporting the entire family, which makes it completely backwards. The parents should be the ones that are supporting the family, and then from that stable family unit, the kids should grow from that. But a lot of times it becomes backwards, where the kids are supporting the entire family.
Yeah.
They're supporting their parents more so than the parents supporting the kids.
Are they depending, as you say, on welfare and food stamps and government assistance? So, you know, a lot of them don't have time to even think about the American dream, I guess. Unless, you know, it's a dream. Maybe when they go to sleep and dream, they think of the American dream. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit of the point. They're in a situation where, you know, the family's on government assistance, and that American dream that we all know that we just described isn't available to them because of that situation, because, the father left the house. And now the mother has to do everything, so she has to get on assistance. So they look for other means to advance, and a lot of times some of those choices are not the right choices, you know, getting involved in crime and gangs and things like that, because they don't see any other alternative.
You know, and going to your life, Judd, because listener Judd, you had a father who was very good in sports, right? Very involved. And then you had brothers, or a brother. I can't remember if there were more than one. And you did very successful because you became a very well-tuned athlete. You weren't in a one-man or one-woman marriage, right, in the family?
No, I mean, you know, my dad grew up poor, you know, and actually his father died when he was 20 years old, and you know, he had two younger brothers that he had to support, basically to get him through high school and college. You know, he married my mom, and they stayed married for 59 years, and they had 8 children, and they sent all of us to college. And, you know,
yeah,
to me, you know, what I saw from my parents was two parents who were devoted 100% to their family. You know, my dad went and did his job. You know, he worked a lot of hours, a lot of long hours, but everything he was producing went back into the family. And my mom, the same way. She worked all day long to give us what we needed in life. And that's the stable type of family environment that kids need in order to realize the American dream. So, you know, we've all done better than our parents did because of what they did for us. And that is so vital. And I think it's something that people are missing or overlooking in our society when they're viewing, you know, the problems in our country.
And, you know, and the problems in our country, if they're not even comparable to what's going on in other parts of the world. I mean, there's like you could take Cuba right now, for instance. You know, they're not looking for the Cuban dream there. You know what I'm saying? And their American dream might be to get over here. You know, am I making any sense
exactly.
on that? Yeah.
You know, when they were talking the other day on TV about all the different countries from which these illegal immigrants are coming across our border. It's not just Mexico and Central America. They're people from Africa, from all over the world that are coming into our country. You know, they're coming in illegally, but there's a reason why they want to come to America, because of the mm-hmm. opportunity and because of the American dream. That they want to be able to experience that as well. And it's you know most countries around the world do not have the type of opportunity that people in America have, and people in America tend to take for granted these days.
And you talk about the Marxist, what was it, Marxist motto? Marxism adheres to the motto, from those according to their ability to those according to their need. The ability to advance through social classes is rendered nearly impossible through their redistribution system, which takes it from the producer and gives it to the non-producers. Wow.
Well, that's the extreme contrast between communist countries, socialist countries, and American capitalist countries, is that there is not, on purpose, there's not social advancement allowed in those countries yeah. because their motto is, we're going to take from those according to their ability. So if you work really hard and you produce and you do great things, the government's going to come and take the fruits of your labor and give it to everybody else. So no matter how hard you work and how hard you produce, you're never going to advance forward. And then conversely, other people are just given things that they didn't work for, and they're trying to maintain this level of quote-unquote yeah. equality. But it's really very unequal. On the surface, it appears equal, but if someone's doing all the hard work and they're being knocked down and someone else is doing none of the work and they're being lifted up, that's not equality in my mind. I think equality is more of what we have in America, that if you work and produce, you're going to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
And unfortunately, Judd, they're not teaching that anymore in schools. And when you see, especially during the summer protest, you know, of how socialism is the answer. Socialism is the solution, because they think, oh, it's going to be free, free, free. You know, I wouldn't be surprised that if the guy running for president said, you elect me and I'll pay off all your student loans up to $10,000. Could you imagine if he said something like that and then all of a sudden, what? You know, nothing there. I don't recall that. I don't know. It's a shame that they're able to put the hooks, you know, in the young people's mouth and reel them in like that. It's just, and it's definitely working, because you can watch the man on the street interviews, and what do you think? Well, watch the current, what the heck's going on over there? Yeah, it just slipped my mind. The exact title of what they're doing over there in Japan is called the Olympics, Chuck. Thank you. You know, I have to think about it. But you look at Americans over there and how they're acting. You know, it's like, my goodness, you ought to, you know, go to some of these other countries and see what it's really all about. It's just terrible that everything they got because they were in the United States of America, plus their talent, you know. Maybe in some cases the talent came first, and then the fact that they were in America. I don't know.
Well, I mean, no question about it. And, you know, the little bit of the Olympics that I've watched, you know, in the past, I remember people were doing it for the flag. People were doing it for America. Yeah. They wanted to represent America the right way. And I don't see that level of patriotism. I don't see that level of, you know, I'm representing a great country by the Olympic athletes that are supposedly representing us today.
No, it's, you know, like, let's see how more woke I am than you are woke. And, boy, let's see if I can get my name in recognition, you know. And some people are getting their name, you know, for the first time recognized because they knelt down or did the flip a certain way and landed a certain way. I can't remember what all that was about, but I was watching part of it and thinking, my goodness, she worked all so hard to win, and then she added the extra flips and flops, and that was a tribute to Black Lives Matter. Yeah, that's what it was, a tribute to Black Lives Matter. Yeah, wow. With all of your talent, you should have made it to the Olympics there, Judd.
They don't have football in the Olympics yet, so.
Yeah, I know. that would be interesting, I know. Drag them away, you know. And it's back again to socialism, you know, like you point out so eloquently here about, you know, the American dream is the exact opposite of communism and socialism vision of society where the citizens are reduced, that is, to nameless numbers on anonymous list. But yet, it's so easy for us. Yes, let us do this. We'll take this.
Yeah, I mean that's what communism does. Is they also, and we're seeing it infiltrate our country, is they like to group the people, and group them all together. This whole idea of group identity, which is taking over our country, that's truly a communist vision. You know, the American vision, the capitalist vision, is that we're all individuals. We're connected by a common flag and a common constitution, but we are individuals and we have inherent worth individually. You know, our group identity is almost meaningless. That's what I was always taught, but now we're shifting back to this communist view of we're going to start grouping people and identifying people based on their groups.
Groups and boxes, you put it in your piece that you wrote. Strangling the American dream because they're slowly denying our individuality and ultimately our freedom. Very serious stuff. And then Judd says this is why it's not only misleading but harmful to dismiss success of white people in America as white privilege. Expound on that a little bit, all right? Got about a minute and a half for our break.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see a white guy who's being successful, and then they're immediately dismissed of that's white privilege. No one goes back and studies what that guy did in his life to get to where he was. How much did he sacrifice? How much did he study in school? They don't take a further step back and say, what did his parents do to give him the opportunities? How much did they sacrifice? You know, they stayed married for 50 years to give him an opportunity to move up in life. And maybe his parents' parents did the same thing. So it's all that's just white privilege, meaning he only got it solely because he's white, not because the efforts of his efforts or the efforts of his parents. It's only because he's white. And then people who are missing out on the American dream therefore don't acknowledge what it takes to get to the success that the guy that they just dismissed has achieved.
Yeah, I remember when I was little and I was hanging around in Texas and southeastern New Mexico, and I would hear the adults talk about it. And I think it was college football they were talking about, you know, and you would hear these racist remarks like, the only reason he's playing for them is because he's black. And what you were talking about, then now they'll say the only reason he got that is because he's white. You see, and it works both ways. But when you get to the bottom line, it was the talent that got you there. You know, you could be purple and take the job of the white and the black if you could catch the ball better or hit the ball better or whatever, you know what I'm saying, or swim better. We're going to take a break. I got saved here. And then we're going to be back and wrap things up with Judd Garrett, talk a little bit about his book when we come back, No Wind, W-I-N-D, and all of his great reports and stories are written on objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Davi fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest, Judd Garrett. And, you know, I mentioned that he was, right, on the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys football. The only reason he got there was because he knew how to play football. Is that right, Judd?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, obviously, Emmitt Smith and Darryl Johnson were ahead of me, so they knew how to play the game a lot better than I did. But I was there. I was hanging on as best I
could.
Well,
you know, there are people that run out to protect the quarterback sometimes, you know, and they're ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
They're necessary, yeah.
Yeah. You know, for some reason, I thought I had another article by you, and it's not here, and I don't know if it was misplaced or something like that. And so the only one I ended up with was American Dreaming, which was well worth talking about. I want to talk about your book again, No Wind, W-I-N-D. It's not a radio station, W-I-N-D. It's a book, No Wind. And this is your first published novel. I know you wrote two screenplays, but tell them a little bit about the book and where they can get it.
Well, yeah, just go on Amazon, type in No Wind, Judd Garrett. It'll pop right up. You can get it in a regular book form, or you can get it in the Kindle version as well, and it's a good read. It's a coming of age story set on the Jersey Shore, about two kids growing up, you know, all through grade school and high school, playing baseball together, you know, facing a lot of the challenges that kids that age face, but also there are bigger real-life issues that come up as well, and it's all tied into baseball. It's all tied into growing up on the Jersey Shore, and it's a very enjoyable and thoughtful read.
Yeah, what year is it set in, period?
It's set in the 90s. The last part of it is 1999, so the late 1990s.
Be a good song title, wouldn't it? 1999.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway,
no question.
Any hopes of a movie by any chance yet?
Movies are hard to get produced.
Yeah.
But I think it would translate into the screen pretty well. I mean, I have to cut down some of the scenes, but I think it would translate very well. So, someone wants to go down that road, I'm all for it.
Well, that's good. And, of course, you're still doing Real Clear Politics, reporting for them, and a contributor on sports and politics. Pretty good when you talk about sports and politics because, you know, you can hit a home run, I guess, on both subjects sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they become so intertwined because people are trying to use the platform of sports to get their political views out there. So,
especially right now,
sometimes it becomes a natural step along the way to write things about both of those.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, every one of your articles, they're excellent, you know, excellent. And once again, I want to remind the listener, the website, you know, I would, if it was me, I'd always have one that's just so easy, you know, like blank, blank now or something. But this one, objectivity is the objective. It's very clever, but that's what it is. Objectivityistheobjective.com, and it's Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And I appreciate each and every visit, sir, and we'll do it again.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. Selwyn Duke, coming up next.
CRN Digital Talk Radio prides itself.
Everybody's talking at me.
Set the network. And we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. All right, I was stalling for time there. Hey, I want to welcome my guest right now, Mr. Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American. He also contributes to the college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. And Mr. Duke will appear on TV all the time. He'll sneak in. You won't realize he's there. He's a frequent guest on many radio shows like this one. And he has a website named after him. It's called SelwynDuke.com. Hello, Selwyn. How are you doing?
Chuck, I'm doing okay. Hope you're well. Yeah, I heard that commercial. I left my heart in San Francisco. That's a classic. But you know, Chuck, with the homelessness there, did you hear about the new version? It's, I left my cart in San Francisco.
Left my cart?
Yes.
Yes. Was it? Did he take too many rolls of toilet paper? Or wasn't wearing a mask and they ran him out of the shop? I need to know the rest of this story.
Nah, you know, the homelessness with their carts. But I guess that went over.
Oh, that's it. Okay. You know, somehow, I'm COVID. You know, that's they're probably the ones that started. You know, we didn't have that until we had all those homeless sleeping out. Yes, you don't know, I'll tell you. Watch out. I hope Biden's not listening because he'll write it down. Ah, boy.
Yeah.
You know, there is a couple of good things that have come out. I have a very dear friend who does homeschooling, and it's for a private company, not related to any particular school, right? And business is booming. And I want to talk about this. COVID killing the classroom, the virus is making homeschooling go viral, and then you have a brand new one that we'll talk about. Does CDC stand for Centers for Disease Confusion. Oh, you're on a roll, Selwyn, but let's talk about homeschooling right now, shall we? You say, what happens when you've been so reliant upon a subpar service, but then you find out you can perform it better yourself? The answer, you ditch the service. And now you know the reason for one often welcome COVID-19-inspired societal change, a surge in homeschooling. Take it away, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chuck, there was a time when homeschooling was a fringe activity, a real fringe activity. But it's been gaining in popularity for a while now. In fact, in 1999, there were an estimated 850,000 homeschoolers in the United States. Not too many, obviously. There were maybe about 2 million of them 5 years ago. And in spring 2019, an estimated 2.5 million. And the growth rate in homeschooling has been estimated to be between 2 and 8% per year. That's according to recruitment service Mark and Style. But things have changed now. With the virus, like you said, well, homeschooling has gone viral. And get this, this is according to the U.S. Census Bureau. It told us in March that the rate of households homeschooling their children more than doubled during the six-month period from March to September 2020, rising from 5.4% to 11%. And what's even more striking than this is that this rise was led by Black American households. Their homeschooling rate, Chuck, rose from, during this period, 3.3% to 16.1%. 16.1%. So if you're talking about 11% of households now engaging in homeschooling, you're talking about a group of people that is close to becoming a real political force.
You know, we were talking about a lot of people wanted to switch over because all of a sudden they saw what the schools were teaching, you know, when they were getting the teaching from the school. But now this is these statistics, the homeschooling is coming from the school, right, itself. It's not necessarily
private. Yeah, the statistics?
Private. Yeah.
Yeah, the statistics, yeah. Well, these statistics came from the U.S. Census Bureau, so we have to assume they're pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely, we're going to get into that, the ideological indoctrination in the schools. But the other thing about this phenomenon, Chuck, is that these customers, if you want to call them that, some people would say maybe they're captives of the schools, are going to be gone now forever because people are creatures of habit. And you know what it reminds me of, Chuck? It reminds me of what has happened with the NBA, with all the kneeling nonsense and Colin Kaepernick's agitation. A lot of people just turned off the NBA, and we spoke about this a long time ago. But I remember I would read these testimonials in comment sections. People would say things to the effect of, you know what, I don't watch football anymore. Now I'm going out and gardening more. I'm spending more time with my family. I don't even miss it. I don't want to watch it. And that's the whole thing. People are creatures of habit. Once they get into a different habit, that's often it. They don't go back to their old ways. And you see the same phenomenon here, Chuck, because the ice now has been broken, and many of these parents have now shed the mass schooling illusion. The whole idea that, homeschooling, that's strange. Who does that? I mean, only people like David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. I mean, it's a really bizarre thing.
Yeah,
but
really,
now that they know that's not the case, many of them have said goodbye to the education cartel forever. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me tell you something real quick. Just today, Los Angeles County Schools, all right, they said, and this is interesting because the parents have until, you know, this afternoon to make up their mind if your kids are going to go to school and wear a mask, okay, and get a COVID test once a week, or you can't come to school. Once a week. Boy, somebody's going to be busy, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And that's only going to alienate more parents, let's face it.
And it may help what you're talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, these schools are playing with fire because every time they lose a student, they get less government money. Now, of course, I guess they probably figure that at some point they can counteract this with government regulation because there are people out there, politicians and activists, agitating against homeschooling. But anyway, you know, the Associated Press reported on this topic. I cited them in my article, the Associated Depressed, I guess, as I like to call it. Well, anyway, they admitted that, quote, some parents are grateful unquote, for the coronavirus-inspired homeschooling transition. And the AP, Chuck, mentions how the parents it spoke to cited things such as religious or special needs reasons as inspiring their educational endeavor. Some mentioned how schools were flawed, and of course, that was all they said about it. And really, that trivializes what studies have shown is the main homeschooling motivation, Chuck, and that's academic indoctrination. And we're going to get to that. But the AP related one mother's testimonial. It wrote, quote, "That's one of the silver linings of the pandemic. I don't think we would have chosen to homeschool otherwise," said Danielle King of Randolph, Vermont, whose seven-year-old daughter Zoe thrived with the flexible one-on-one instruction. Her curriculum has included literature, anatomy, even archaeology, enlivened by outdoor excursions to search for fossils. Well, I don't know. I mean, in the schools, let's be fair now, Chuck, you don't actually have to leave the classroom to find the fossils, because really this left-wing ideology that the kids are accosted with at this point is highly fossilized.
Well, let me tell you, if the little girl runs out of her house with a pick and finds a fossil, she's not going to have to worry about the rest of her education, right?
Yeah, right.
She's going to be a rich little girl, yes, I think.
Yeah, if it's the right fossil, right fossil.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, and then they cite a black American family, quote, "Arlena and Robert Brown of Austin, Texas, had three children in elementary school when the pandemic took hold. After experimenting with virtual learning, the couple opted to try homeschooling with a Catholic-oriented curriculum provided by Seton Home Study School, which serves about 16,000 students nationwide. And the father said that he didn't want his children to become a statistic and not meet their full potential. And he also wanted them to have a solid understanding of their faith." Mm-hmm. Now, as I point out, and this is maybe one of the dark sides of this increasing homeschooling phenomenon, the Browns don't represent every black American homeschooling family, Chuck, because the AP also points out that some of them are using something called the National Black Home Educators Curriculum, which the AP tells us, quote, "provides content for each academic subject pertaining to African-American history and culture," unquote. And, of course, that sounds highly racialized. But even there, though, I have to say, Chuck, I'm sure these kids are getting a better education than they're getting in the government schools. I mean, that's pretty safe to say. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, what's more racialized than what's going on nowadays in the government schools, namely critical race theory, all the nonsense with that. But anyway, this phenomenon with the National Black Home Educators Curriculum also illustrates the increasing homeschooling phenomenon. And here are the statistics. The head of the NBHE, the National Black Home Educators Association, said that they had, quote, about 5,000 members before the pandemic, and now they have more than 35,000. So, anyway, you know, it's not surprising, though, that the AP, Chuck, didn't want to talk about the main reason for this move towards homeschooling, which is that left-wing indoctrination, because the bottom line is that, as I put it, big media and big education are basically joined at the hip. They're ideological fellow travelers. So any criticism of academia's ideology is tantamount to criticism of big media's ideology. That's the truth. And not only that, let's mention something else. I didn't put this in my article, Chuck. But when these parents had to keep their kids at home at first and they were doing distance learning via the computer, many of these parents were watching the lessons. And lo and behold, what happened? Well, they witnessed what their kids were being indoctrinated with, things that the teachers were trying to hide from the children. I mean, I know recently there was some fourth grader who was told by a teacher that he shouldn't tell his parents about what they were being taught. I'm sure you remember that story.
Well, in
anyway,
fact, let me hang on 1 second here. Did we do that with you already, or is it... No, I remember I just saw that the other day, or
I thought maybe
you and I had already done it. Yeah, don't tell your parents, about the questions. And a lot of people got upset. And it's like I said a moment ago when I first brought you on about what you just mentioned, you know. Whenever they were watching what was being taught by the school. You know, and some of these schools, I mean, it's unbelievable sometimes what these people say. But the school said, we have a rule now that parents are not allowed to watch what we're teaching the kids at home. Do you remember when they were doing that? They had two or three schools that really had, you know, I don't want to use the word, but anyway, we're going to tell you, you can't watch it. Only the child can watch it. Yeah, but what's this stuff about, you know, Lady Godiva here? What's all this about? No, you can't watch that. And that was part of it, remember, their little in-home study?
Yeah.
It's
getting out. Oh, absolutely. And this is nothing new, Chuck. I mean, I still remember this. From the 1990s, there was this teacher, Imani Matthews, in New York City, here at the exclusive Riverdale Country School. That's in the Bronx, but it's quite exclusive. Mm-hmm. And she was a lesbian, and she was indoctrinating the kids with sexual devolutionary propaganda. And she said, basically, this is close to a verbatim quotation, there is no other side. And she was expressing the idea that they had to hide what they were doing from the parents. So this is nothing new, but think about it, Chuck. I mean, if someone wanted to take care of your child and take him behind closed doors, let's say a babysitter, but said, no, no, you can't watch what's going on. You can't have a baby monitor in there. Well, wouldn't you get mighty suspicious? Wouldn't you be concerned about molestation? Well, what do you think is going on here? This is molestation. It's
you
just
think
as
they'd
bad.
Have, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you'd think they'd have little statues of Hitler, you know, up behind each one of the teachers or something. Coming up on the break, hold your thought that I interrupted you on, which I frequently do, but I'm going to give the listeners a heads up here, okay? In the next part of this report from Selwyn Duke, you're going to find out what the quota is, and is there any political so-and-so going on in your schools that maybe you don't know about, and some of it is unbelievable when you start getting the breakdown, all right? We're going to be right back with Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American, and his website is Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Basketball superstar LeBron James wants to rescue his son, who's been trapped by a rogue algorithm played by Don Cheadle inside a high-tech world called the Serververse. But the only way to achieve that noble goal is to team up with classic Warner Brothers cartoon characters, including, well, you know who, in Space Jam, A New Legacy, playing in theaters and streaming on HBO Max.
What is this? I'm a cartoon?
What's up, Doc?
This whole kooky confection is, of course, based on the 1996 version of Space Jam that featured another basketball legend named Michael Jordan, who didn't try nearly as hard as LeBron when it comes to acting range, and that doesn't really work in LeBron's favor. The sentimental scenes of father and son reconciliation are neither funny nor touching, though some of the silly gags are intermittently amusing. It's rated PG, 2 stars for Space Jam, A New Legacy, where it's hard to conceive that they mount another lame sequel.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, the new American. SelwynDuke.com, discussing one of his reports, COVID killing the classroom. The virus is making homeschool go viral. Now, I interrupted you a while ago. You're getting ready to make a statement there. So you now have the floor, sir.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say that the liberal powers that be, the establishment, the mainstream media, of course, don't like homeschooling at all. And that came through very clearly. The AP hid its bias for the most part. But take, for instance, Chuck, their British paper, The Independent, which I also quoted. It wrote Tuesday that the, quote, number of children being homeschooled could soon become a serious problem. And what was the problem? Well, the paper, Chuck, cited religious zealotry as an issue. Now, I found this to be very amusing because, in reality, there has been no rise in Western religious zealotry, you know, except maybe among the Muslim populations that have been entering the Western world. In fact, on the contrary, Chuck, we've been losing our faith, as you know. But you know what there is a rise in? There's a rise in opposition to secular zealotry. So as I wrote in my article, it's not that parents are suddenly having a road to Damascus moment. That's not happening. They're reacting to a pseudo-elite culture that's becoming overtly hostile to their own faith and to the truth itself, by the way. And that's why, Chuck, many new homeschooling parents aren't even religious, as we put it, quote-unquote religious. Many of them are secular people, but they're just recoiling at the school's full-throated leftism. You know, the Daily Caller reported on this in 2019. They said, quote, classroom indoctrination is causing a rise in homeschooling. Another site, Aereo, echoed this last year. It pointed out that educators don't represent the people they serve. And what were they talking about? Well, this is what you were referencing before the break, and this is very interesting. Didn't surprise me at all, but get a load of this. Quote, among English teachers, there are 97 Democrats for every 3 Republicans. This is what the site related. Quote, with the proportion being even more one-sided among health teachers, with 99 Democrats for every 1 Republican. Among high school teachers overall, there are 87 Democrats for every 13 Republicans. Okay, and so this,
remember when the indoctrination was only in the colleges?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, though. I mean, of course, it's even more lopsided, I would say, at the university, no doubt about it. Yeah. But this is why when people say, well, it just the upper echelons of the educational establishment that are the problem, I say, well, no, it's not really true. I know there are good teachers out there, but the bottom line is that they do not reflect the greater population. You know, they're at variance with them. There's no doubt about it. And this is why we've seen nonsense like kids being encouraged to go out and protest climate change during school hours or to support the neo-Marxist group Black Lives Matter. It's why, Chuck, they're accosted with mental monstrosities such as what I call sexual devolutionary perversion, and which we all know, something we all know of, critical race theory. And then, of course, you have masking and all the rest of COVID ritual. As I put it in my piece, I mean, we could call 2020 the year when big education jumped the shark of schooling surreality. But, you know, Chuck, now I want to address something that's a little deeper because homeschooling does get attacked. You know, the left-wing media try to promulgate this stereotype of homeschooled kids that they're out there in the boondocks and they're being raised by toothless parents and snake handlers and whatnot. So the whole idea is that children will receive a subpar education if they're homeschooled. Now, First of all, I point out in my piece that no education is actually preferable to soul-killing miseducation. I mean, you know, we have first do no harm, the Hippocratic Oath, right? But the truth is that it's pretty laughable when you have people who are advocates for government schooling talking about a subpar education when we know what government schooling is like nowadays. I mean, there's a reason why American children lag behind those of many, many other nations nowadays. But anyway, here's some statistics for you. And this is, again, from that recruitment service I mentioned earlier, Mark and Style. Homeschoolers score 15 to 30% higher on tests than government school students do. Homeschooling erases racial disparities in academic achievement. Homeschooled students perform 4 grade levels above average. Homeschool children engage in 5.2 activities outside the home. That's very interesting. That's good. Now, I don't know, Chuck, what 2/10 of an activity is, but I would be very interested to find out. But
yeah, and how would you grade it, you know? Hey, taking that break right now, and then we're going to be right back.
Yeah.
And you'll wrap up the final on this one, yes. Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E, and it's selwynduke.com. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Dobby fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our peach Bellini martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest, Selwyn Duke, the new American. SelwynDuke.com. And you left us here talking about the homeschoolers and their scores and stuff like that. And then the homeschool children, you said, engaged in 5.2 activities outside of the home. You know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, if you don't go to school in person, you know, you're going to miss out on that great opportunity, you know, of the relationship with other children and stuff like that. But here's a 5.2 activity. Is this the one that you're kind of curious about?
Yeah, I guess so. That 2/10 of an activity. But, you know, what I point out in my article is, though, one activity homeschoolers, Chuck, don't usually engage in is immersion in things such as Hate America First 101, Introduction to Soul Destruction, Sexual Perversion 2.0, and How to Become a Dummy for Dummies. They're usually not exposed to things like that. But, you know, there's more I want to say about this, because some people will say, this is a rap against homeschooling, Chuck, that, well, you know, these kids aren't going to be socialized correctly, they're not around other children, yada, yada, yada. That is pure and utter nonsense, and I'm going to refute that right now. First of all, if you just look at this anecdotally, if you listen to homeschool children in general, and I've heard some over the years call into talk shows, they're very articulate. They speak in complete sentences. They don't use Twitter speak, for example. They definitely are more mature than children who go to government school. And this is not surprising, and I'll tell you why. You have to remember, while because of conditioning, we view homeschooling as being abnormal, and it's not the norm in our society, meaning it's not what most people do, the bottom line is that within the context of history, there's nothing abnormal about it, Chuck, because for most of history, children were socialized within the family unit. What is unusual and abnormal is sending your child off for 6, 7, 8 hours a day to be around 30 other children, where often what happens is one bad apple can spoil the whole lot, right? Mm-hmm. You have the children sinking down to the level of the lowest common denominator very, very often. When a child is homeschooled, though, and he's around, and usually these children have intact families, and he's around parents, sometimes grandparents, older siblings, older cousins, what happens is that he gets very balanced socialization. Now, follow me here. It's not all just kids his own age, right? It's balanced socialization, examples of maturity, examples of immaturity from younger siblings, makes a big, big difference. And this is very, very significant because I'm going to tell you about something. There was this little experiment many years ago, and I guess the people who were conducting it got caught up in the evolutionary theory. Anyway, they wanted to see if a chimpanzee could become more human. So they took a very young chimp and a very young child, who I think was the child of the experimenters. Maybe he was an infant or a young toddler. And they started to raise them together. And they wanted to see if the chimp would start to emulate the child and act more human. Well, what do you think happened? That couldn't happen. The opposite. Yeah. Really? You see, the chimp was incapable of that because his mind would not allow for it. What happened was the baby, the toddler, started to imitate the chimp. He started to act more like a primate. And that's when they abandoned the experiment. You can look it up. It's very, very interesting. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, it relates to what I was just talking about. When your child is around what you might call superior adult minds or more mature adult minds, he's going to tend to emulate that. If he's only around very immature minds, well, he tends to emulate that. So that's why homeschoolers actually tend to be more mature than government-schooled kids. So don't get me wrong. Now I'm going to say something else about this, going a little deeper perhaps. I understand that Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, made the point, I think it was him, that actually the state had a vested interest in having universal schooling because it gets everyone on the same page. Now, I understand that. The problem is it's got to be the correct page, and that's not what we have today. So really, in light of that, the best option we have is homeschooling your kids so that they're not going to be corrupted by the dominant culture. I mean, remember, this is so, so significant. The first 7 years of your child's development will set the tone, perhaps, for his whole life. The old Jesuit saying goes, Chuck, show me a child at seven and I'll show you the man. Nikolai Senels, maybe I mentioned him, no, I mentioned him elsewhere. He's this European psychologist who worked with Muslims who were coming to Europe and trying to assimilate. And he pointed out that what happens during the first 7 years of a person's life will really be hard to change for the rest of his life. Whatever he is at age seven is often almost set in stone. I'm not saying it's impossible to change. Listen, I'm a man of faith. I believe in being reborn, but it doesn't happen that much. So my point is that you really have to be careful about what happens to your child during those first 7 years and his childhood in general, but especially those formative years. Don't let the modern culture and strangers with bizarre ideas shape your child and set the course for the rest of his life. Make sure you do that. That is your mandate. That is your responsibility. That is your obligation, and it's a holy task. Step up to that plate.
Does that follow under the word parenting?
Yes. You know what, Chuck? I am so verbose, so long-winded. All we had to say was parenting. Why am I on this show? I shouldn't even be here.
You should be in here every day. You know? No. But, you know, but I'll tell you, I mean, you know, you have all these eloquent words and fantastic. And during me listening to you, and I'm thinking, I wonder how I would be, you know, if I was, like, homeschooling, right? You could chew gum in class, right?
Yeah.
You could bring your dog, and let's say the dog barks. Okay, forget it. You can bring a goldfish. Now, out of those three, which one does a public school let you do? Zero. Unless it's science day and you bring your pet and it happens to be a dog or a goldfish, right? There's advantages to it, you know. And like I say, I'm very close to a person that does homeschooling, and it's very interesting, you know. And it's you know what amazes me is how these children – you know, they just can't wait to start the classes. Now, that's, you know, I was never that way, you know. I better get another drink of water before I go into science class. Why? You thirsty? No, I didn't do my homework. You know, that's that's the dilemma I always had, as you can tell, right? Yes. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You know, it's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say a few more things about homeschooling, unless you want to stop me if you think it's enough. But I want to point out that something occurred to me many years ago. When I was a child, I was a rather good student in elementary school, let's just put it that way. But I realized that big part of that was the fact that my mother, when I was very young, drilled me. She helped me to read. She helped me with other things. And that's when I had the realization that I think every successful student is homeschooled to some degree. I mean, there's no parent who says, oh, I'm just going to all give it over to the school and that's it and forget about it. I'll wash my hands of the whole thing, and who ends up with a child who's a good student. I just don't think that happens at all. I really don't.
I wonder how many, just out of curiosity, let's say there's three children, and what if the third child, the parents turn him over to the older children, you know what I'm saying, and say, you help him with his homework. Instead of, you know, the parents getting involved. I had a little bit of that in my life, you know, two older sisters.
Oh, okay. How much older?
I think about 5-6 years.
Oh, wow. I'm the youngest in my family. My sister is 11 years older than I am.
Ah, see? And she may have been teaching you, and she'd done a good job there, Selwyn.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Let's touch on the one you just released today. Does CDC stand for Center for Disease Confusion? I like that title.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting because I introduce it by pointing out that a regular person, Chuck, wouldn't think to define a human being as three-fifths of a person, but this is the language that emerged when southern slaveholding states and northern abolitionists negotiated slave status for congressional representation, right? And what this teaches us is that politics doesn't just make strange bedfellows, it draws strange conclusions. And its scientific conclusions are no exception, Chuck. So what have we seen during the course of this COVID nonsense? Well, in deference to the very strange bedfellow that is China, the World Health Organization once told us that the coronavirus wasn't transmissible person to person. It couldn't happen. Maybe you had to kiss a pangolin or something. I don't know. Then take the CDC. It was against masking before it was for it. It briefly opposed it again. Then a day or two later, it went back to full-throated maskaholism, right? Ditto for Dr. Anthony Flip-Flop Fauci. I mean, he seems to have taken every position on COVID-19 and COVID-1984 that you could possibly imagine. I mean, the man applies relativism to disease remediation. All right, now, what about the establishment in general, Chuck? Well, it went from, just need a two-week lockdown to flatten the curve, to, can't reopen until there are 14 straight days of declining infections. Then it was, well, we can't return to normal until there's a vaccine. Then it was, well, maybe, though, not till 2022. And then finally, it was, the humanity, viruses mutate. Can you imagine that? COVID ritual forever, for as far as the eye can see. And this is why, and I've quoted this man before, renowned epidemiologist Dr. Newt Witkowski said, he was explaining at the time Fauci's schizoid pronouncements. This was early last year. He said, well, I'm not paid by the government, so I'm entitled to actually do science. So anyway, why was I talking about this? Well, I've no idea. No, I'm kidding.
I was talking about this. It's a double standard, definitely, yes. The bait and switch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely tells it all right there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. We were talking about the CDC's latest flip-flop. That's what I was writing about. This was on the Delta China virus variant.
Yeah.
Anyway, the CDC had said, finally, that it was not going to recommend masks for the vaccinated. But now it's again saying, well, it's not just the unvaccinated who've got to wear the face diapers, but the vaccinated, too. I mean, talk about a bait and switch. Mm-hmm. And what has gone on here? Well, the whole thing is supposedly that the Delta variant is doing an end run around the vaccines. They don't provide protection against it. So now you have to mask up again, even though studies have shown that at best masks offer marginal protection against SARS-CoV-2. But you know what's so striking about this, Chuck? Are you going to tell me these health authorities didn't understand that viruses mutate? That's what they do. That's what they do. In 2017-2018, the flu vaccine, according to the CDC, was only 40% effective. Now, why is this? Well, it's well known. It's because the flu vaccine is derived from a certain strain of the influenza virus, but that's not necessarily the strain that's going to be dominant, prevalent during flu season. It's as simple as that. So you had to know all along that the coronavirus was going to mutate, but our health authorities were pretending as if that wasn't the case. So it's another example of how they're lying through their teeth. It's just unbelievable. How can we possibly trust anything that they have to say? And in the article we're discussing right now, I quote this fellow, Jeffrey Tucker, and he's hoping that this latest flip-flop by the Centers for Disease Confusion will be the CDC's final undoing, that people will finally say, well, we've had enough. This is ridiculous. We can't trust these people at all. And I certainly hope that's the case. You know, he lays it out pretty well. He says, well, how did this whole thing come to be, where the CDC kept on changing its position? Well, he theorizes that what happened was, in May, you had Senator Rand Paul grilling Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci showed up for a Senate hearing fully vaccinated and fully masked. And Senator Paul said, what are you doing? If you want people to have confidence in the vaccines, why are you showing up with a mask? At least show them that, hey, if you get vaccinated, there's some reward. You don't have to walk around with the face diaper anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, this fellow Tucker theorizes that the CDC watched that and said, you know what? Maybe if we say now that if you're vaccinated, you don't have to mask up, maybe more people will get vaccinated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen, did it? Now,
well, you know what?
Course,
I bet they got a big percentage, though, you know, but not what they wanted.
Right, right.
I'm
yeah,
just
well,
guessing,
that's the whole
you know?
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have a certain number of people who have gotten the vaccine. Some are experiencing vaccine regret, I understand. Other people just don't want to get it, period. They're maybe willing to take their chances with the virus. They're wary of the vaccine, and I can understand that fully. They have good reason to be. But nonetheless, these branch COVIDians, as I like to call them, dogmatically aim for a 70% vaccination goal. They don't care about natural immunity. They deem that irrelevant, even though the vaccines are based on the whole concept of natural immunity. They just mimic it. That's all they mm-hmm. do. Natural immunity is even better than taking a vaccine. But let's put that aside. So anyway, how did the CDC come to flip-flop yet again? Well, this fellow Tucker theorizes that it had to do with something the Washington Post wrote. You know, Jeff Bezos's vanity project, the Washington Post. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but on July 22nd, basically the Post stated that the CDC needed to say that unless there's a way to distinguish, quote, between the vaccinated and unvaccinated, indoor mask requirements should be reinstated. And it went on from there. And so then Tucker opined, quote, the CDC seems more easily led by op-eds in political newspapers than actual scientific papers on the topic, of which there are many thousands now, unquote. And so, influenced by politics, the CDC reversed itself yet again. Okay, right. Now my point
all right.
here is...
We're on the break right yeah. now, so we'll get to your point there. Remember, yes, and the CDC... Yes, sir. This fellow Tucker, that's not Carson, is it?
No, it's not. Different man.
Two Tuckers are pretty good. Two Tuckers are better than one.
Okay. Hey, you could all tucker it out, though. All tuckered
yeah,
out.
That's right. I'm tuckered out, just making up how many shots do you need? What's coming around the corner there? Do you need another shot? And, oh, my goodness. All right. Selwyn Duke is going to be right back.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the new American, and the website SelwynDuke.com. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Yeah, so anyway, we were talking about how our health authorities are completely and totally influenced by political considerations, and the theory here put forth by this writer Tucker I cited was that the CDC, in reversing itself on masks yet again, was influenced by entities such as the Washington Post. But the CDC needed an excuse for what it was going to do, for why it flip-flopped on masking again. So it said, oh, it's the Delta variant, which supposedly they couldn't have foreseen, even though I said earlier, everyone knows that viruses mutate. This was a foregone conclusion. That's what happens. So anyway, this fellow Tucker writes, quote, the horns of the dilemma are obvious to anyone who is watching this clown show unfold. If the CDC removes the mask guidance, people don't get vaccinated. If they add it back in, people have another excuse to avoid the jab. Masks, in this case, remain what they always were, a tool to prod the public into compliance with other mandates and dictates, purely a symbol of fear and its unrelenting trigger. And with fear comes obedience. Maybe.
Yeah.
So,
boy.
Anyway, the bottom line is this. You want to know how political things are? I wrote about this week as well. The head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, actually went on CNN, Chuck, and flat out lied and said that COVID was twice as dangerous to children as the flu is.
Yeah.
Now, guess what contradicted her on that? The CDC's own data, her own agency's data. I've been reporting on this for ages. Everyone informed on this issue knows that the flu is far more dangerous to children than COVID is. During the 2009-2010 flu season alone, 358 children died of the flu. And this happens basically every year. Very few have died of COVID. So she flat out lied. But that is the power. That is the power of politics when you mix politics and science. And so basically, all I can say, this is how I concluded my article, is there are really only two things we can know here. I mean, one, we're hoping that people will come around and rebel against all of this, but you have to remember, as the saying goes, it's easier to fool someone than to convince him he has been fooled. And the two things we know for sure is, though, bear this in mind, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And we can also know that none of this has anything to do with science. Harking back to what I said before about that antebellum agreement, all politics, the best we can hope for is 3/5 of a rational decision.
Excellent, excellent. And I'm going to tell you something, listener. Go to SelwynDuke.com, all right? And there's two other articles you got to check out. If your clothes sometimes stink as badly as the culture, blame Big Brother, and I'm going to tell you it's a very interesting, truthful report. And then the other, if you're ready for this, zero COVID deaths. Sweden's anti-lockdown strategy has worked. As of Wednesday, Sweden's seven-day rolling average for China virus deaths was zero. Somebody's doing it right, yes. All right. Time is up, Selwyn. Hey, maybe we can get together next week, okay?
Sounds good to me. God bless. All right. God bless.
God bless you. Selwyn Duke, the new American, and the website Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-I-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. Pardon me. Thank you very much, Tomas. Thank you for listening. And remember, no animals were injured during the production of this here program.